Greetings this morning in Jesus' name, each one of you. Just jump right in here. The title for my few thoughts, I wasn't sure exactly what to title it. I thought of faith with a gaze or faith with a vision. Either one of those would work. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12 for our text. And the things that I want to share this morning are, first of all, for myself. I know I can say that sometime and not really mean it, but this is really something that I need in my own life, and something that God has been, from time to time, I've seen the need more in my own life for this. Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2, we'll read those verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, these two verses here are a reflection on the previous chapter, chapter 11. If we read the first verse there, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then he goes on into a whole discourse showing us what this looked like in the lives of different people, people that the Hebrews were familiar with. And then in chapter 12, he brings it down, and it's like, it's your turn now. We can see what they did. We can see how God worked for them. And now it's our turn. And then in verse 2, and I want to pick this phrase out. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And he's telling them that because we see that all these people that have went before us, we need to do the same. And then he tells us how to do it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finish of our faith. That is the method. It means to consider attentively. The call springs from a need to have a purpose or aim higher and greater than ourselves. A faith fixed on circumstances or the tangible will be affected by tangible things and circumstances. And I'm not saying that we won't be affected by those things, because we are. I am anyway. But our focus, where our focus is and what we're focused on, what we're looking at, affects how we respond to whatever it is. And there's when I say looking unto Jesus, sometimes we look at something, and one of the things Dad taught me when I was young is, if you, so to speak, how to plow a straight furrow, you pick out an object somewhere in the distance and you go for it. You don't look back to see if you're making a straight line, but you keep your focus there, and if you keep your focus there, you'll hit it. But it's not, this isn't something that we can see with our physical eyes. We can't see Jesus with our physical eyes, but we have him in our focus. We want to be like him. He's who we want to be. And we have in John 15, we have the beautiful chapter where he teaches us to abide. And I think that is what it is abiding, abiding in Christ, where we look to him, we receive our life from him, and that's where our focus is at. Why is it important to have a gaze or a vision? And Proverbs 29:18, and at the risk of taking these verses out of context, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Isaiah 28, verse 7, I'll turn to that passage and read that. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 7. He's in this chapter, he's pronouncing woe to the drunkards of Ephraim. In verse 7, but they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. It's the picture of a drunken man. And he's stumbling around, and he doesn't know where he's going. And he doesn't have any direction. It says they err in vision, that their vision isn't right. So it's important that our vision is right, that we're focused on the right thing. They stumble in judgment. Sometimes I make wrong decisions, and my judgment's wrong. And we will make wrong decisions at times, because we are human and we are in the flesh. But if our focus, if we're looking unto Jesus, then we can see. There's more than one way. We can look at this as a faith, where our faith is focused. But there's also a sense in which we need to know where we're going, know what we want, or have a vision of what we want in life, or have a vision of the kingdom. We could say it that way. And that gives us something to press towards. We're not just, if we fix our gaze on ourselves and we're just concerned about our own lives and what feels good, and we look at ourselves, our lives will be consumed with ourselves. In 2 Corinthians, we'll turn to that passage. Read several verses there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 through 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I thought of this illustration. I'm not sure how to do all this. So we have this circle here. This marker is kind of lackadaisical. And we have, this is our life. And we have, this one's even worse. We have two people here. So this is their life. This is the past, and here's the future. And here's we'll put this line here. This is the end of life, and this is the beginning. So we look back. We started here. We can't really. I mean, looking back isn't really going to do us any good. And then this, we have one here who's focused on the temporal, and it all stops right here. Every decision that's made and every response is based on right here. This one is focused on something else, and we can't draw eternity. But the focus goes way beyond the end of his life. And it makes a difference. In this passage we read in 2 Corinthians, he's talking about our light affliction, which is but for a moment. It's just for right now, and I think that 20 years, 30 years is a long time, but in the grand scheme of things, 20 or 30 years is only a short time. In verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that look in verse 18 there, it means to regard. We don't really regard the things that are seen. And when we think of an illustration of this, when Jesus was walking on the water, and he said, come to me. And Peter, he jumped out and he took off. And then he started to see how terrible this situation was and how awful things were looking. And he started to sink. How should we gaze? We're told to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What does this mean? How should we gaze? With a goal. A gaze without a goal, or a wrong goal, is empty-headed dreaming. I thought of one of the slogans that Nazi Germany had. One of their war slogans was "One people, one ruler, one empire, victory, salvation." That's a tremendous vision. I mean, they had their sights set high, but it was a wrong vision. It was based on unreal concepts, things that couldn't happen. When we look with a wrong goal, for personal gain or personal advancement, it won't come out. We don't just have to look to Jesus, but we have to do it correctly. Philippians 3. Let's look at how this looked in the Apostle Paul's life. Philippians 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless, he's listed his pedigree, all the natural advantages he has. And then in verse 8 he says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That I may know him. That was his purpose. That was what his that was his goal. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You don't have to turn there, but I'll turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's how we're changed, brothers and sisters, by beholding. You know, the Lord Jesus didn't come and obtain salvation for us and put it in a warehouse somewhere and go back to heaven. But He gave us Himself. And as I said earlier, it's abiding in Him. We can't have it apart from Him. As we look to Him, all the beautiful things that we saw in His life when He was on the earth can become ours. How should we gaze? With steadfastness. Turn back to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Read the rest of this passage, verses 12 through 14. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We see his goal. He had a goal, and he knew this is what I want. And it was steadfastness. It wasn't easy for him. And that's the only way we can make it. This challenges my heart. Sometimes I wonder, we see people that fall away, and we're not above that. But sometimes I wonder, did they have a vision of eternity? Did they have an eternal vision? Did they have a vision of the kingdom? And it's something that we can lose. Maybe I have it now. If I do have it now, I want more of it. But it can be lost. We'll turn back to a text in Hebrews chapter 12. In verse 2, we can see how this looked in Jesus' life. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. It cost him. Despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There was a long-term vision there. There's another thing we should consider here. We need to gaze with clean hands and a pure heart. In verse 1 of chapter 12, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. We cannot gaze. We cannot have our faith fixed if there's darkness. A weight is a burden or a hindrance that weighs us down. In closing, let's consider this. We're looking unto Jesus, the author. He authored our faith. He's where it all came from. He wants to finish it. And he's here for us. We're, so to speak, in the middle of this. We're between this line and this line. And we could draw another line here. The author of our faith. He wants to be the finish of our faith. But what about in here? If we're not looking to Him and walking with Him. It's very unlikely that He'll be the finish of our faith. And wherever we're at. And this was a tremendous truth in my life. That early on in my Christian life. That made a big impact. Wherever we're at, the call is still the same. In John chapter 3, verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. We know the account in Numbers 21 where the people murmured against Moses. And God sent the fiery serpents. And there was a terrible death there. And there was the situation was terrible. And God said, Moses, make this brazen serpent and put it up on a pole. And whoever looks to that serpent will be healed. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds kind of... that doesn't sound very... It sounds a little bit foolish to look to the object of the death for healing. But you know what happened? Those that looked were healed. And here in this passage, he tells us it's the Christ, the Son of Man, will be lifted up the same way as that serpent, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Wherever we're at, let us run with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And if we don't have that faith, the answer is still the same. Look unto Jesus. It's not something we can see with our physical eyes. But let's behold Him. And as we behold Him, we are changed into the same image. God bless you.